You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today. And it's for me. Let us pray. Oh God, I thank you for affording me one more opportunity to proclaim your word, and I would ask on this day you would save me from me. Hide me, O God, in the shadow of the cross, and allow me to preach your word unafraid and unashamed. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Responding to God talk. Responding to God talk. I believe that sometimes we must fall back in order to move forward. I believe that sometimes we must step back in order to get a step ahead. Sometimes we must look to the past in order to truly envision our future. Sometimes. Originally, I had planned to share how God talk had impacted me and those around me leading up to my initial sermon. And I promise I'll circle back to that, some things have happened in my life, in our life, and it's kind of changed how the Holy Spirit has been leading me. I call them life things. Life things. And so I'm going to start with just a brief story about our trip to Mauritius. Put it on your bucket list, y'all. For those who may be unfamiliar, here's a brief history lesson about the island nation of Mauritius. Mauritius, located east of Madagascar off the African continent, was discovered by Arab sailors, explored by the Portuguese, settled by the Dutch, occupied by both France and England, and finally gained her independence, retaking the name of Mauritius in 1968. That was the Reader's Digest version. On this island, there is a mountain, and I see that my French-speaking child is here, and I'm apologizing ahead of time for anyone who speaks French because I'm about to butcher this. But there's a mountain on this island called Le Morne Brabant. Oh, okay. All right. And in English, it's translated as the mournful one, the mournful one. In 1715, the Maroons were brought to the island from the African continent by the French to work as slaves in the sugarcane fields. And the Maroons did what Maroons have done. They fought their way free. If you know the history of the Maroon people, you know that they have always fought for their freedom. After this self-emancipation, they lived in this area of the mountain, the mournful one, and they were largely unbothered by the French until the English defeated the French in 1810, and the English showed up seeking to establish relations, trade relations with these people. Now, that's what they said. Anyway, long story short, these Maroons saw these white faces approaching them, and they took their families and they scrambled 1,824 feet to the top of the Mournful One, this mountain. And then they tossed their children and then themselves off the top of the mountain into a valley that is now known as the Valley of Bones, where they are still finding bone fragments of these formerly enslaved people. During our vacation, sounds like a fun trip, doesn't it? During our vacation, Kamiko and I decided that we were going to try to climb this mountain. Kamiko will most times let me pick our excursions, and I think this may be the last time she lets me do this. But she chose to allow me to pick this excursion where we were going to climb the Mournful One. And we climbed 1,790 feet. We didn't get all the way to the top. We began our climb carrying our own body weight and the weight of our backpacks and the weight of loss. Loss of career, loss of loved ones, just loss. And as we were climbing, I began to feel some of the weight being lifted. As we climbed, Kimiko cried and I cried. At first, I thought I was crying because I was in pain. As we climbed, I struggled to breathe and Kimiko struggled to breathe. As we climbed, in addition to weeping and struggling to breathe, we also gained a great appreciation for the ginormous size of this mountain. Did you know ginormous is a word? The ginormous size of this mountain and how physically taxing it must have been for these Maroons as they literally climbed to their deaths. It was unnerving. And I wondered why we had chosen to climb that mountain. Now, looking back on it, I believe that God wanted us to climb the Mournful One because we were in mourning. I wasn't that smart during that time. I just knew that we were climbing this mountain. As I'm scrambling up this ginormous mountain and suffering from an extreme case of nerves every time that I would look down, I kept hearing my father's voice reminding me of a lesson that he had taught me concerning nervousness right before I preached my first sermon in New Orleans, Louisiana. He said, "Son, when you lose your nervousness, look for another line of work. Your nervousness is the Holy Spirit reminding you of just how insignificant you are in preaching the Word of God. Your nervousness is the Holy Spirit reminding you of just how small you are in relation to proclaiming the huge Word of God. Your nervousness is your response to God talk. Back here, having survived the Mournful One and returned safely down the mountain, I believe that I may very well have experienced God talk. Our word for today is that God is still talking. God is still calling us to serve. God is still calling us to work in the vineyard. Are we listening? We're called by God to serve society's least, last, and lost. We are called by God to uplift and encourage the downtrodden and the lost. We are called by God to speak truth to power. We're called. But are we really listening? Today's passage of Scripture offers a portion of the story known by some as the call and commissioning of Jeremiah. And while we'll spend some time listening to God's call, today my prayer also is that we use this opportunity to really home in on humanity's response to God's talk. Our text begins with, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying," Response lesson number one today is that God talk occurs without the baggage of human invitation. God talk happens whether we are prepared to listen or not. God talk takes place whether we are prepared to act or not. God talk will occur when our consciences are clear and even when our hearts are broken. However, all too often, we cannot or will not respond because we have erected worldly barriers to God talk. God speaks, but we will not respond because our calendar is full. God speaks, but we will not respond because our alarm clock has not gone off yet. God speaks, but we will not respond because I've got bills to pay and I've got to get paid first. God speaks, but we will not respond because we don't care for the message or the messenger. I just I just sat there with that one for a moment. And I, for one, am thankful that the criterion for God speaking is not dependent on my or some others being prepared for it. For if that were the case, God would still be waiting on me and some other people to get ready. No, saints, God speaks. However, for too many of us, our response is to look for a way out rather than a way in. Lesson number two in responding to God talk is recognizing that God chose us for a specific purpose, and God's purposes will be fulfilled in the manner and by the vessel chosen by God. Did you get that? My grandmother used to tell me that a hard head makes a soft behind every time. I know none of y'all ever heard that. When it comes to fulfilling God's purposes, we can do it the easy way or we can do it the hard way, church. When it comes to responding to God talk, we can joyfully enter into God's presence like a David or attempt to flee from God's presence like a Jonah. But make no mistake, God's will or purposes will be fulfilled. We can duck and we can dodge. We can bob and we can weave. We can even try to run and hide. But God's will be fulfilled. When God called Jeremiah, his response was, "Truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." Some of us may be able to relate to Jeremiah today with our two excuses. That's T-O-O excuses. "Lord, I hear you talking, but I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too inexperienced. I'm too busy. I'm just too tired." You know, two excuses. Or our response to God may be filled with "but" excuses. That's B-U-T. Y'all have no sense of humor today. "God, I hear you calling, but I used to drink like a fish. I used to smoke like a chimney, but I used to cuss out and fuss out my friends and foes. But, God told Jeremiah, and God is telling us, my grace is sufficient. God tells Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I consecrated you." I hear some God talk right now. God knew what we were going to do before we knew what we were going to do, and God called us anyway. God knew our falls before we fell, and God called anyway. God knew our losses before we lost, and God called anyway. God is talking. How are we going to respond? Let me say this right now so no one gets it turned around. God does not call the perfect. I know that some of y'all may believe that. God does not call those who are unstained or untainted or unbroken to proclaim God's divine word. No, God calls the imperfect. God calls the broken. God calls the weak. God calls the fallen. God calls the wounded. God calls the marginalized. God calls the trash and the trashy. In other words, God calls all of us to do the work. When I was discerning God's calling on my life and trying to figure out how or if I would respond, yeah, that question did come to mind. My main argument against entering into a formal ministry was that my past would be a hindrance to people receiving the word. You know, folks would sit up there and say, "I hear what you're saying, but I knew you when." I know that no one else has ever had that kind of problem. I'm sitting in the saints of, sitting in the presence of the holy and the sanctified. I know that. No one's ever made a mistake in here except me. Yeah. But that was my concern. I believed that all of my past dirt would prevent people from hearing God's word of grace and mercy. However, my father told me that my past was one of the main reasons that God had called me to preach and to teach the word. To quote my father, "David, you have read the book and you have lived the book." It's time for some God talk right now. Someone who is listening today needs to know that God's grace is truly sufficient. Someone listening today needs to know that God will take your weakness and turn it into a strength. Someone listening needs to know that God will use your past to encourage someone's future. God will use past hurts and use you to heal. God will use some of your past storms to bring about a calm in someone else's life. God will even use your past curses to bless someone else's future. I can hear some more God talk right now. God's grace is sufficient. When God calls you, it's with that dirt on your resume. When God calls you, it's with all of those skeletons that are breakdancing in your closet. When God calls you, it's with all of that junk that's in your trunk. When God calls you, it's with all of the warts that you've got in your life. This is God talk for the believer and the non-believer. This is God talk for the church and the church damaged. God saw what we used to do and where we used to do it, and still speaks to our hearts. God saw what we used to be and where we used to be, and still speaks to our souls. I was sent to tell somebody that God has chosen you to serve. Did you hear what I said? God has chosen you to serve. God talk is in effect right now. God talk calls for action. God does not call us to hear and do nothing. God speaks to us and through us to God's people, that is, to those and for those that God has claimed. And so you know, God claims all of us. Folks we agree with and folks we don't agree with. Folks on the left side and folks on the right side. Folks that are darker complexion and those who are not. Those who have straight hair and those who do not. Those who live certain ways and those who live other ways. God calls all of us and claims all of us. God chooses you. God chooses you to serve. God chooses you to be agents of grace and mercy. God chooses you to be bearers of the good news. God chooses you to offer hope to the hopeless and life to the lifeless. God chooses you to speak life into death and blessings in the face of curses. God chooses you to care for even the least of these. God chooses you. How will you respond? I'm almost done. I know the U.S. Open is starting soon. But before I stop, there's one more lesson in responding to God talk that I have to bring out. After the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and after God responds to Jeremiah's feeble protestations, read, lame excuses, God offers these words: "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you." I'm not going to preach right now, but I got to get this out of my system. The last lesson in responding to God talk is recognizing that when God calls us, God covers us. This is prayerfully a word of assurance for those who may be feeling a stirring in your soul right now, who may be hearing some God talk right now and experiencing a little bit of nervousness. Responding to God talk often means putting ourselves in the firing line. Responding to God talk often means speaking truth to power even when it's not popular, and identifying hurtful policies and practices and pulling the covers back on injustices that are moving us further away from our humanity and from God's call on our life. Make no mistake, saints, it's no walk in the park responding to God talk. However, God's promise is, I am with you and I will deliver you. I feel one more piece of God talk coming. God is calling us to go forth with a holy boldness and tell the God honest truth. You know, I am with you and will deliver you. Tell God's truth and know that God always keeps God's promises. God has promised to be with us and to deliver us. When we are faithful, the promise is, I won't put more on you than you can bear. When we are faithful, the promise is that I will go before you into battle. When we are faithful, the promise is, I will make your enemy your footstool. When we are faithful, the promise is that I'll place a hedge of protection around you, covering you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. When we are faithful, God promises to bring us peace in the midst of our storm. And if God said it, I believe it. Folks are going to get mad. People are going to get mean. Some are going to try to bring up our past to minimize us or shut us down. People are going to attack our families. People are going to pretty much say or do anything and everything in an attempt to shut us up. But I tell everybody the same thing I'm going to tell you right now. The good news of Jesus Christ was good 2,000 years ago, and it's just as good, if not better, right now. Tell it. Tell the truth. When we start to proclaim the truth, that's when the darts come. But I know that God has protected me. When we tell the truth, I know that I'm going to be attacked. But I believe that God has covered me. When we tell the truth, I know I'm going to hear something about it. But I believe with all that I am that God's grace is sufficient. And that I will be delivered. In the beginning of the sermon, I spoke about going back in order to move forward. When I'm facing my mountains, my mournful ones, I go back and I remember how God delivered me in the past. When I'm climbing my mountains, my mournful ones, I go back and I remember how God protected me. When I don't think that I can take another step in my current condition, I remember how in my past condition, God allowed me to be able to walk when I did not have strength and talk when I did not feel like I had the breath. I remember when God covered me, and I believe with all that I am that God does not break a promise. Somebody listening needs to know that you can step out in faith and live God's truth. Someone listening today needs to know that you can step out in faith and live into God's promise. You can step out in faith and know that God's grace is available to everyone and anyone, even you. Know that God's grace is protecting you. Somebody listening needs to know that God's grace has been poured out for you, so that you might be able to respond to God talk. God is calling. Are you listening? God is speaking. How will you respond? And to all I offer, shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.